Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. June 20th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today on this special in-location edition in LA for Abby Martin's documentary. I apologize for the slight echo, seeing as how I'm not in my normal location here, but there's plenty to get into today, and I didn't want to skip today, specifically because there's a couple topics that I wanted to touch on that are very important with things that we have been talking about a lot in the very recent so many weeks, even before that, in the last couple of months. But primarily two topics we're going to get into today. One, the main reason I wanted to come on is about the drone and Iran and seemingly the next extension of this story that lines up, and it can be interchanged with any one of them, lacking information, no certainty involved, and yet everyone seems, at least in the United States camp, to think that it's already Iran, as well as some information about Congress and the recent arms sales, which I actually got wrong. Not that that's that shocking, I get things wrong all the time, but the reality that Congress did, in fact, vote down the bill for selling more weapons to Saudi Arabia, which is a fantastic thing. But Trump could still veto it, and we'll be getting into that most definitely. But to begin today, the first article coming from Zero Hedge about the drone, and this is a very, very dangerous situation we find ourselves in because this is closer to war than we have been so far. Iran releases video of drone downing. Trump warns, you'll soon find out if U.S. will attack. You'll soon find out. Right? Because that's reassuring everybody, right? Really toning down the aggression they claim that they're not creating. You know, who knows? Plan for everything, right? Because we may attack at any moment. That's not causing aggression or increasing problematic situations around the world at all. Not even close. But this is definitely something that's being used from every angle. If you're unaware so far, today indeed, Iran's Revolutionary Guard shot down an American drone that was said to have flown into Iranian airspace. And this is where a very important aspect of this development of where this drone actually was. The U.S. claims the drone flew over international territory. But even if that is the case, remember we're talking about a drone flying in the Strait of Hormuz. Think about it in reverse of, you know, Russian drones, Chinese drones, Iranian drones flying, you know, along the East Coast. Not necessarily in their airspace, but right along the coast of the United States. I'm pretty sure the U.S. wouldn't be okay with that. But what Iran is saying is that the drone was in fact in their airspace, which is why they shot it down. Which, does anybody actually think that that's not possible? I mean, we know the U.S. would be willing to do such a thing. The drone was reportedly flying over the Strait of Hormuz, not far from where the two oil tankers were recently attacked. Which is, of course, interesting, because this is all tying in with this larger story, which is the point. As I continue to point out, we keep building on story information that's been given that has yet to be verified. And standing on these unverified claims and shouting out the next unverified claim and then proving some superfluous aspect of the third unverified claim as if that then proves all of it, right? This is the reality. This is what they're doing with the mine, right? If we can prove that there was in fact a mine out there, that means we're correct and Iran's guilty. No, it means that any one of numerous countries could have planted a mine there. Well, see, they don't want you to think like that. How dare you accuse the U.S. or Israel, Saudi Arabia of doing any such thing that we actually do all the time in secret? Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, Ali Shamkhani, Secretary General for the Supreme National Security Council, said, quote, "We will defend Iran's airspace and maritime boundaries with all of our might. It doesn't matter which country's aircraft cross our airspace." The point with this is to say, look, we're not targeting the United States. We're being targeted by the United States. And we would have reacted the same with any other drone that violated our airspace, which any country can understand. The United States has said similar things in the past. Now, the Revolutionary Guard commander, Hussein Salami, said shooting down the drone had sent a clear and strong message for the United States. Iran's borders are red lines. And though Iran doesn't seek war, Iran is ready for war. And this is the same mantra we're getting from both sides, right? We don't want war, of course not, but we're ready for war and we're going to do anything that's needed. Now, the U.S., meanwhile, denies that the drone crossed into Iran's airspace at all. And says it was in international airspace the entire time. But honestly, like again, really being honest with yourself for a moment, do you really think that the U.S. would quibble or balk at doing something like that? Do you think the U.S. feels it has the authority to violate Iran's airspace? I think you know the answer to this. Just like we see the reality that Israel and everything they're doing in Palestine and the Golan Heights, violating international law with impunity. Oh, not even concerned that it's in fact violating law. They just feel like, well, we're the good guys, so it's okay. And they're the bad guys, so it's doubly okay. No real logic to it. But the whole point here is that the U.S. is claiming that it was flying over international waters. But I think we know very clearly, based on other incidences of war we can see, that the U.S. has no qualms about breaking that line. Now, the news, of course, sent oil prices surging, which is very interesting in the whole dynamic of this story, as we know clearly that at least Saudi Arabia is benefiting with such a scenario. And we have to understand that everything they're doing, why would Iran take this action knowing that it's only going to increase the negative aggression and attention on them right now? And they're struggling economically. It simply doesn't make sense. Could it be that they actually sought out and shot down the U.S. drone in international waters? Of course that's possible. But again, ask yourself why it makes sense at all, even within the U.S. narrative. Why does it make sense for them to do such a thing? It's simply handing them a gift wrapped package and saying, here you go, John Bolton. Here's exactly what you need to do exactly what you and Netanyahu have been planning and wanting for a very long time. It just simply doesn't make sense. Now, after being briefed on the attack, Donald Trump weighed in on Twitter, of course, to warn Iran that it had made a very big mistake by shooting down the American drone. Very big mistake. And then, not too long afterward, in a very interesting and weird way, seemed to step that back. Or rather, what sounded to me like a walk back, saying that the incident was probably a mistake made by an individual soldier or by someone loose and stupid. Now, of course, could he say both of these things? Absolutely. Could he say that it was a big mistake for them to do this and that maybe it was also a mistake by somebody crazy or whatever? Yes, he could say both those things. And both those things would make sense. But the way that it panned out, it seems to me that at least this was kind of a, whoa, that was a little over the top, and we have to pretend at least to wait for evidence, right? So let's step that back a little bit and give them the tidbit that they want. That, oh, well, it could be a mistake, and we don't necessarily have to blame Iran until tomorrow when they outright blame Iran, which I can already promise you is coming, in my opinion. Just we're going to see Bolton and Pompeo come out and say, yes, it was Iran, we know it was Iran. And Trump will say, well, maybe it could have been this and that, and waffle. But where they actually go is what matters. They're playing the good guy, bad guy role today, very clearly. Now, Trump followed that up by insisting that his administration wasn't pushing him toward conflict and that sometimes, it was the other way around. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to make us feel better or worse. That sometimes it's actually Donald Trump that's irrationally pushing for war, so it's all of us sometimes. It's all good. I don't know why he would say something like that. We're driving towards war unnecessarily. I think the point is they're playing the good guy, bad guy role, but they don't want to necessarily make it look like what it does look like today, that Trump is not necessarily driving the bus. Now, the U.S. Navy is sending ships to where the debris from the downed drone is reportedly floating in international waters, according to the reports they claim. But I have yet to see, and I'm sure we'll be following up with this in the days to come, about whether there's even actual debris there, or whether if it was downed in Iranian area, they actually have the drone. I'm sure we'll see that too. But this will pan out and we will find out all of the information, which any honest person out there, that's what you should be doing, waiting for more information, because the U.S. is happy to fly over the top along with Israel and all of their sycophant allies and just rush out and say, it's Iran. And then send out Trump to be like, well, maybe not, but everybody else is on the same page. It's Iran. We know it's Iran. We've been saying it for 3 weeks. So we'll find out, trust me, if they also produce the debris from floating in the international waters, then we should be considering, well, maybe it did get shot down in international waters. But we have to wait for the information to come and address it accordingly, which is something we should be chanting to ourselves with this entire Iran idea, because every step of the way, it has been ridiculous, unverified claims thrown at everything. Now, after all of that, in his clearest threat yet, Donald Trump replied, you'll soon find out, when asked whether the U.S. was ready or willing to attack Iran after this happened.
How would you respond, Mr. President? How would you respond?
You'll find out.
Are you willing to fight a war with Iran?
You'll find out. You'll find out. I mean, obviously, we're not going to be talking too much about it. You're going to find out. They made a very big mistake.
And, I get to a certain degree why a president or anyone for that matter would not want to just reveal what their plans are, knowing that they're watching wherever else they're going to be carrying this out. But the way that's been, this is the way that they've been doing this, like just like you just saw, that is not only unnecessary, it is inflammatory and also puts everybody else on edge, including U.S. allies, which is probably something that they chuckle about in the Oval Office, right? I mean, it's something that Trump has openly, this is something he prides himself on, keeping people on their toes, not letting them inside all the information. But this is increasing the possibility for nuclear war. And that's just a positive side effect, I guess, to what they're telling you or what they're doing. And it's frustrating to see. But what that does is keep the aggression going with Iran. Even if they don't want war, they know that by saying something like that, it maintains the situation, which to some degree is benefiting plenty of people, including the United States, in basically siphoning off all of the oil market out there as they're taking it from places like Iran. Now, in remarks to the press, Donald Trump reiterated after this that Iran had made a very bad mistake and insisted that the drone was in international waters. Now, despite this being about as effective as nailing Jell-O to the wall, the United Nations has warned the U.S. and Iran to refrain from any actions that might inflame the situation. How'd that work out well for you last time, UN, and the time before and the time before? Yeah, they don't care what you have to say. I think we need to acknowledge that. The U.S. has stepped right over the top of the United Nations and is now filling that role as it sees fit, including handing out sanctions unilaterally to whoever it decides based on nothing, it would seem. Now, finally, as the last time I checked in this story, and I'm sure it will develop into tomorrow, Iran has now sent a letter to the United Nations saying it would defend itself by land, air, and sea, and has released alleged video of their military shooting down the unmanned U.S. drone, also showing the alleged path of the drone. And you can, I mean, you look at, look, you watch it for yourself. I actually took out the audio, by the way, because they added their own dramatic music and screaming, and it just, you know, my honest opinion, this doesn't show very much at all. This shows a rocket, right? I mean, we should be skeptical of all of this stuff. From Iran, from the United States, from anybody. As I've made abundantly clear so far, I think it's overwhelmingly obvious the U.S. has been lying about this every step of the way, along with Israel, where it ultimately stems from. But we know that Iran is now playing the game. We know that they're involved in this, trying to basically take every advantage they can, in their eyes and probably, truthfully, in the right in this situation, and so doing so after the fact still doesn't make surreptitious, deceitful moves okay, even though they were in the right to begin with. And I'm not saying that's what we're looking at. I'm just saying this video in and of itself doesn't necessarily prove anything, which we should be just as willing to say that about this video as we would about the United States content. It's important. But they're releasing this drone saying, or the video saying you can see the missile hit the drone. But in fact, they do have information other than that. It's important to understand that we should be skeptical of all information from all sides. Very important to understand. But this will continue to develop. And I think what's very important to understand is that the United States, as they've shown and made very clear in all aspects, are willing to use any kind of situation like this to benefit their agenda. Actually, which we'll touch more on in the next article, which also goes into Iran and dives through why the story is false so far. But there's a point we're going to get to about how Bolton and under Bush had previously tried to lie and got caught lying in order to try to initiate a strike with Iran. So why would we not possibly be considering how Bolton might be doing that today? It's an honest question, because there's really not many people doing that. But for the next article, and this is powerful, it's coming from the Mint Press News, veteran Navy officer exposes flaws in U.S. version of Iran oil tanker narrative. And this is powerful, not only because the person is somebody that, you know, you should be listening to their opinion, because they know what they're talking about. Doesn't mean they couldn't be lying, but we should be very much be open to what they have to say. But because of the information surrounding this and what they what the mainstream media is presenting from this story is so incredibly fraudulent, just like it was into Iraq. They are not showing you how much actual criticism and contradictions are flying around in this story. It's very important to understand all of this stuff so you get the full picture. Now, a Canadian military analyst and former Navy officer for nearly 20 years has called the United States Iran so-called evidence into question, highlighting unresolved anomalies in the U.S. version of events. Now, his reservations are backed by Japanese government sources, which we've talked about. The Japanese, including the owner of the very ship that got attacked, has maintained that they do not agree with the U.S. version of events. In fact, they outright said it was wrong. They said they saw flying objects, they heard two explosions. I mean, the U.S. has not even addressed the contradicting testimony, by the way, which is what they tend to do. When they know they can't counter something, they just pretend it doesn't exist, and they hope the mainstream media will go along with their game plan, which they will, because that's what their job is. Now, a number of other states, the United States, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Israel, as well as other jihadist groups, and even a rogue hardline faction of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, have all been flagged as potential culprits in the attacks that could pave the way for a wider war fitting into the Trump administration's new plan for American energy dominance, which is a very clear motive for why they would attack someone like Iran, who over the years, the United States have been siphoning off their part of the oil market. Very clear. That's why the point they're making about American energy dominance and what they'd be willing to do to accomplish this. But understand that within this, even the fact, yes, it could be a rogue faction of the Revolutionary Guard, of course, that's certainly possible, but it's just as likely or possible as the United States, or Saudi Arabia, or the UAE, or Israel and Mossad, or any one of them taking part in all of this, and that's not being even considered by the U.S. and their lapdog mainstream media. Now, the U.S. government says that the evidence, including fragments of an exploded mine and a magnet from an unexploded device, indicates that limpet mines were attached to the side of the oil tankers. The statement of U.S. Navy explosives experts that the mines bear a striking resemblance, to quote, to similar mines used by Iran has been widely reported. Right? So this is exactly what I'm talking about. The U.S. is basically saying, well, look, we've proven that there's a mine there. And we've proven that they were limpet mines. And then because they look, you know, strikingly similar, that's their own quote, to mines used by Iran at some other point, Iran did it. That is proof. No, it's not at all. And I would argue that we haven't even been proven that, you know, that they've proven to us that it was in fact a mine that was there. But let's just say they have. All they've proven is that a mine was used, and it could have been anyone that did it. And it's important to understand in all of this, the timing of all this and how it goes into it. People saying now that the mine had to have been placed at the harbor before it went out to sea, because it's not possible to have been placed otherwise. Knowing that the limpet mine wouldn't have been able on a moving boat above the sea line to be in place out in the midwater, especially not with not being noticed by the ship alongside their ship. But then that calls into question the entire narrative that they're saying that they went and did it while they're on high alert after previous attacks and Iranian guard just walked in and planted a mine on the side of a ship in the harbor. None of it adds up. And if you actually start thinking about the information, you recognize how flimsy the story is from top to bottom and how the nebulous story fluctuates as they try to tweak it this way and that to apply to the newest contradiction. We have to see this. Now, the claim is challenged, of course, as by plenty of people, by the analysis of other former naval officers. Now, according to Dr. Gwen Dyer, who has served as a reserve naval officer, in the Royal Canadian Naval Reserve, the U.S. Naval Reserve, and British Royal Navy Reserve for a total of 17 years, alleged that U.S. intelligence about the incident does not add up. Sure, nice to have such an expert to come on and say, yeah, we can also agree that we don't agree with the narrative of the United States. Now, Dr. Dyer, despite believing that basically, Iran is, you know, probably behind the attacks. Even though he believes it's probably still Iran, he concedes that, quote, the evidence is far from conclusive, which it's nice to see somebody honest who may still actually think that Iran's responsible, but is willing to acknowledge the evidence is not at all what the United States claims it is. Now, writing in a local Canadian newspaper, Dr. Dyer, who has taught military history and war studies at the Canadian Forces College in Toronto, and the Royal Military Academy in Sandhurst, in the UK, he observed that as limpet mines, quote, clung to ships' hulls by magnetic force, but have to be placed by hand, this means they were probably placed while the ships were in port, because it is, quote, almost impossible to place a limpet mine once the ship is underway. Other boats cannot come close enough without being spotted, and swimmers, including scuba divers, cannot keep up. This analysis, like I said, contradicts the explanation initially put forward in a joint statement by the United Arab Emirates, Norway, and Saudi Arabia, at a UN briefing, alleging that Limpet mines were placed by divers deployed by speedboats. And this has been the story from the beginning, despite all of the contradicting testimony and the contradictions of evidence. I mean, they just continue to nail it forward. Just keep nailing it down with that hammer. That's all the only tool they have. And now we have, and now basically the analysis was showing that it's no way that it could have been the way that they say it is. Now, all six tankers that have been attacked, ostensibly, sailed from ports in Saudi Arabia or the UAE. Now, according to Dr. Dyer, given the implausibility of the mines being deployed as they're claiming they were, this suggests that the mines would have been planted on the tankers before they left. But again, this raises the question of how they would allow such a thing to happen while they claim to be in high alert because of the previous attacks. And again, he makes the point that they can just walk in, foreign agents can just walk in and plant the mine right in front of everybody. I mean, it just doesn't add up. Now, U.S. officials have also put forward aerial video of a small Iranian boat at one of the tankers as evidence, of course, because, you know, a boat being in their general vicinity, of course, that means Iran's guilty. But they put it forward as evidence of how the Revolutionary Guards removed the unexploded Limpet mine, despite the fact that they have, as by basically all accounts other than the United States, have not actually proven. But this too actually makes little sense, according to Dyer. So he said, quote, "Limpet mines are generally fitted with anti-handling devices, i.e. they explode when you try to remove them. And yet everybody on that boat crowded onto the bow as if to get as close to the explosion as possible." Right? I mean, you have to acknowledge the ridiculousness of this story. They claim they were removing a mine, yet they all crowded up to the front, just like we saw in the video. I mean, it is comical. Now, Dyer raises the possibility that the mines could have been planted surreptitiously by, I don't know, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, or Israel, in order to generate a justification for a long-desired war on Iran. Oh my God, Dr. Dyer, where have we heard that before? From anybody being honest with themselves? The reality that it could have possibly been any number of people other than Iran because of the sophistication and proficiency, such as Israel and the United States? No, that's just not possible, except when you ask the experts and what they have to say about it. Now, Japanese government officials, as I pointed out, are even less convinced of the U.S. position. It says, quote, "The U.S. explanation has not helped us go beyond speculation." And this is a senior Japanese government official speaking today, or I believe it was yesterday. Now, the newspaper quoted a government source close to Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who responded to Pompeo's claim that the U.S. assessment was based on, quote, "intelligence, the weapons used, the level of expertise needed to execute the operation, recent similar Iranian attacks on ships, and the fact that no proxy group operating in the area has the resources and proficiency to act with such a high degree of sophistication." You know, you lump all those things together and damn, that sounds legitimate, except when you break each one down and realize that they're all complete speculation. Now, the Japanese source close to the prime minister commented, quote, "These are not definite proof that it's Iran. Even if it's the United States that makes the assertion, we cannot simply say we believe it." And right there, the Japanese are calling into question all these other people, like the UK, for instance, who just flew over the top with them and said, yeah, we believe the US because that's what we're supposed to do, right? This is the Japanese being very, very honest and saying, no, you know, we can't just say it because the US said it. We don't believe it's true. Now, a separate government source at the Japanese Foreign Ministry went further, suggesting that Pompeo's own criteria of sophisticated expertise sufficient to conduct the attack might implicate, again, both the U.S. and Israel. I mean, this is coming from Japanese Foreign Ministry now, saying that, yeah, the same things they're putting out and saying that this proves Iran could very easily be pointed at Israel and the United States. That's exactly what we're saying. And people like Bolton and Pompeo have a long history of working to progress its joint goals with Israel. Truth and evidence be damned. Now, Dyer points out that while President Donald Trump's intentions are unclear, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor John Bolton probably do want war with Iran. I would say that is an undeniable statement based on things they've said themselves. Now, during Bolton's previous tenure, and this is what I mentioned before, and this is very interesting. During his previous tenure in the U.S. government, evidence emerged that the Bush administration had attempted to fabricate an incident which could be used to justify, you know, a long-planned military strike on Iran. That it is very easy to demonstrate. From Iran or from Israel to the United States, it's an ongoing, long-sought agenda to be able to strike Iran and eventually overthrow the government, like they've done to countless destructive times to numerous countries all over the world. But it emerged that while Bolton was in the Bush administration, that they had tried to fabricate evidence to be able to justify a strike on Iran. What does that sound like to anybody? Maybe exactly like what's happening today? Possibly. Now, according to a former senior U.S. intelligence official, a meeting in Vice President Cheney's office during the Bush administration occurred a few weeks after five Iranian patrol boats approached three U.S. Navy warships in the Strait of Hormuz. Now, press reports described Iranian ship-to-ship radio transmissions threatening to explode the warships. But within a week, an internal Pentagon inquiry concluded that there was no evidence that the Iranian boats were the source of the transmissions at all, and that they originated from a prankster long known for sending fake messages in the region. Regarding the meeting with Cheney, the former U.S. official said that, quote, the subject was how to create the casus belli between Tehran and Washington. How to manufacture the event that will kick all of this off, just like they've been doing time and time and time again. And this is Bolton, who's privy to all the same information the Pentagon was, who knew this wasn't true, who pushed this forward to achieve his goal. Why in the hell would we not consider that he's possibly doing that today? It's an honest question that we should be asking everyone. And those that still think it makes a difference, you feel free and call your political, your U.S. officials, and you tell them what you think. And you tell them what you demand, that we ask for more information. Because that's what any honest person would be doing right now. Now for the final story of the day. And this is good news. It's nice to finally end some good news again. But, you know, I argue that it's not going to end up being good news. But this is good news on its face as it's developing. Coming from Reuters, Senate rejects Saudi arms sales in rebuke to Trump. Very good stuff. Now, the U.S. Senate on Thursday voted to block the sale of billions of dollars in military sales to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and other countries, rejecting President Donald Trump's decision to sidestep Congress's review of such deals by declaring an emergency over Iran. You know, the emergency now that we look at the time he declared it, it was simply not there. We know this now. The recent developments, you could argue, have more information or more relevance, but the beginning claims that he used to justify the so-called emergency to circumvent Congress to sell weapons to the country working with them to essentially starve 20 million people to death in Yemen, that it's unbelievable that this was even something that took place. But this is essentially Congress now, after approving the ones to Baran and Qatar, now rebuking Donald Trump, essentially, and stopping this one. And I argue this has more to do with Khashoggi than anything else, which frustrates me. But whatever will stop them from selling the weapons. But the problem is that it's still probably going to go through. Trump has actually promised to veto the Senate action in order to proceed with the deals. You know, because who cares what your ostensible democracy or what the American people ostensibly want. Right, I argue that that's not at all what Congress actually represents, but that's what we're told it does, right? We're told that this is what it represents. You know, in a country that's supposed to be a constitutional republic, right? Some of the people always hassle me about that. The only reason I quibble about the term democracy is because that's what they use to describe it. This country was never meant to be a democracy, and I argue, you know, shouldn't even want mob rule in this country. But the reality is that this is Donald Trump vowing to circumvent even what we wrongly believe is that fake idea of democracy. And this deal is worth about $8.1 billion. Now, senators would need 67 votes to override the veto, which looked unlikely after Thursday's votes. So, at the end of the day, regardless, Trump's probably going to veto it like he did the last one and send the weapons anyway. Which is interesting because it really calls into question the idea that we have any influence over what's happening today. It also shows you that they don't care at all about the fact that it's the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Beh, but who cares? Because we're going to sell them weapons. Someone's got to sell them, right? Might as well be us. Doesn't really fly with the moral authority claim that they continue to put forward. Thank you for joining me today. I have to hop away to go check out this documentary that's premiering today. I'm going to try and do a show tomorrow, but I can't promise I'll be back. But I will be doing another one while I'm here. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Please spread the information, share the link, get it out there, wake people up. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.